this Sabbath. Let's look at how the Lord changes those that come on to Him. Because this study that we're going to be doing for a while, we had just finished the sanctuary study that took us a little over 2 years, I think 2 years and 3 months, maybe 2 months. And the Lord blessed us with that, with a better understanding of doctrinal and prophetic scripture, because the sanctuary itself is just one gigantic prophecy, is one big old pile of doctrine. And so now, there was a couple of ideas that we were thinking about doing, or even doing a study on Revelation and all that other stuff. And I had three or four things lined up, but then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night one night, this came to me and says, "Now we got to learn how to get closer walk in Jesus." And this is the reason we're doing this this study, because if the Pope gets his way, they're going to start enforcing the buy and sell portion of the mark as early as 2027, maybe even earlier. I don't know if anybody's seen that clock in New York City where they're counting it down, the climate change agenda to be enforced by the end of 2027. But if they can do, if they got that out there now, that means they could probably get it done by 2025. But who knows? Who cares? We got to be ready. And so we need a closer walk in Jesus. And when I say that, I really mean we accept Him as Savior. Okay? And yes, every babe in Christ is on fire when they first meet Him, but the real Christian shines forth once the expected trials of Satan come upon them, because as soon as you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, he lost a soul in his charred trophy case, and so he's going to go after you with tooth, nail, and horn. And so some will fight Satan and walk stronger in the Lord, but most are not going to do that. Most in the world, as you can just look around right now, we could step out now and we can easily see, like we saw in Scripture in Noah's day. There was only so many millions of people on the planet then, and there were eight souls in the ark. Well, soon, when the latter rain starts falling, and especially when the plagues begin, there's only going to be 144,000 real Christians left on the planet, the ones that will still make it to heaven but can't get through the plagues as the Gideon band. They will be martyred off or die in their sleep or whatever before the plagues begin. And around that time, if it happens in 2027, we're looking at a little over 9 billion people on the planet by that time. And so most people are not going to, want to walk with Jesus, especially like family members getting in their face, co-workers, classmates, the police, the Pope and his henchmen and all that. It's just going to be, a little, it would be mostly just annoying, because if you have Christ in your heart, you still got the perfect peace, and you know this is all supposed to happen, so it makes it actually, it bolsters your faith, letting you know that, wow, we're a lot closer than we thought. So, but still, many are going to allow Satan to use their flesh to pull them off the path. In fact, Jesus actually explains all this in a parable. It's in Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. Is Sean here? Because I was looking over. We got... he is. Good. All right. Okay, so Matt... obviously. He just put it into the text chat there. And, all right, so Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23 says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not..." You can hear me okay on the stream, right, YouTube? I know you can hear me on WTPR because it's bounced. 56 families now over there. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm thinking they can hear me in YouTube. All right. Because that's what I don't like about YouTube. It doesn't have a VU meter. It doesn't let you know if your audio is coming through. Although it will buffer, but no one's answering me on YouTube, so it's kind of hard. Well, that's right. There was like a 15-second delay. Thank you, Sister Teresa. Okay. All right, so, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one." Did you notice, though? Understandeth it not. Who do you think that's talking about? The people that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and never study His Word. Satan knows you don't study His Word. And so he's going to attack you in ways that the Word of God would have said, hey, you got to be ready for this attack or that attack. But if you don't study, you don't know it's coming. So then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. So now he might be a Bible studier and stuff like that, because he's not saying he doesn't understand, but check it out. What gets him off the path? Well, it says, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And so, like, for example, you could have, like in my case, 10 siblings. They all disowned me, as did my parents when I left the Catholic Church. So there is, that's persecution because of the word. I left because of what I read in the Bible. So I was persecuted because I was a Christian now. Right? Tribulation, that too can be considered tribulation, because that wasn't easy for me to go through. But I love Jesus more than I do anybody on this planet, including my own children. I mean, I love my children, of course. Love my wife. I love my brothers and sisters in the faith. But I love Jesus a lot more, because that's where the devil's going to hang his horn, you know, his horn-filled hat. Anyway, verse 22 says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Well, now there's the guy that's like when Jesus said how hard or how difficult it is for the rich to gain heaven. When that young rich man came up and asked him, what do I got to do to gain heaven? He says, sell all you got and help the poor. Well, he couldn't handle that. And so what goes on here is there's rich people out there that find the truth the way we find it. They embrace it. But then all of a sudden they realize, oh, wow, I can't stay in this kind of a business. Say they're in some, like, say they sell alcohol or cigarettes or, you know, like they have a convenience store or even a jewelry store. They can't, they got to close the doors, right? Unless you just use a jewelry store to, you know, exchange gold and silver. You know, take people's jewelry and melt it. Well, then there you go. That's okay. Then it becomes like a finance kind of a setup then, which is nothing, there's nothing sinful there. Okay, so verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So there it is. I mean, and that's us, of course, the people that embrace the word of God, and we go forth and share it, and then so it brings more people in. And so as we walk this path and knowing how we will meet all sorts of people, we need to learn to allow the Lord to work with people as well. We cannot expect a babe in Christ to become a theologian in one day while at the same time still be on the milk of scriptures 10 years later. Okay? I mean, remember what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5? Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 14. This is what he said. He said, for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so, on one hand, we need to be patient with the people that the Lord puts in our lives that just found the truth and they're kind of like stumbling down the path every now and then because they don't realize that's sinful yet, they don't realize this is sinful yet. At the same time, we got to be patient with ourselves as well, because I've known people that day one, as a matter of fact, an old friend of mine texted me a few weeks ago, and I didn't respond because he's having major issues, and I told him, until you buy a Bible, I can't associate with you anymore, because he keeps on saying he's going to buy a Bible and he's going to do this and do that and get back into it. And he constantly calls and texts, and it's his life's a mess, and he just won't do anything to try to clean up his life. I can't, I was there for him, and I'm there for him for years, and I still pray for him. But he can't just, ignore what's going on in the world, because he knows the prophecies. I tell him all the time of what's happening in the world, but it's still, his fruit is extremely bad. Let's just put it that way. And so I can't associate with him anymore. And so I back away like the Bible says to do. I don't shun 100%. I'll be there for him if he needs me. But out of the blue, a couple, 3 weeks ago, he says he's going to start a church. And I've met other people like this that actually, they find Jesus and they want to become a pastor on day one. Well, try that in the secular world. It's not going to work. You can't give a baby filet mignon when the baby can only handle milk. Just like you can't give CEO position to someone who just got their driver's license at 16. It just, life doesn't work that way. Well, you can't do the same thing with Christianity. And so we have to be patient with the people that come to us that aren't walking the way they should yet, because but by the grace of God, there go you, because you aren't perfect yet either. You may know a little more than that person does, and that's why they're in your life, to help guide them closer to the middle of the path. And while doing that, it helps you get closer to the path, because you're constantly in the Word trying to help them, and the Word always makes everybody better. So, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So, that'll bless you as well. And but then you got to be patient too. You got to wait on the Lord. You can't, because I've met a lot of guys that are self ordained, and they go out there and they're saying this. Like the one guy I knew in Indiana, kept on. We called him pastor for, I think, about a year and a half before I found out he was never ordained. Because he asked me, "Would you have the men in the church lay hands on me?" I says, "Why? Are you sick?" He goes, "No, I want to be ordained as pastor." I says, "Man, I've been calling you pastor a year and a half," and that's when things got a little strange over there. And so, again, on one hand, we need the patience. On the other hand, we need to be a bit concerned. And so, how does the Lord regard every single one of us before we find Christ as Lord? It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Because by grace ye are saved. And what do we call this quickening of the Lord when it comes to the heart? It's in 1 Peter chapter 1. So what do we call this when he comes into the heart of his obedient people? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says this: "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Did you catch that? Peter said we are born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And as I shared a few Sabbaths ago about the schoolmaster that Paul talked about, which brought us to the Lord as Savior, when we looked into his word as babes, and especially into his law, which not only reflects the character of a born-again Christian, it just all happens to be the law of the land of New Jerusalem. It's our passport, if you will. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's no lagging in the new text chat or audio chat. So if you're having like in the new text chat part, not the audio, but the text chat part, there's a bad word section that you could put swear words in that bad word section, so that if somebody comes into this room and tries to put in a bunch of swear words, you'll get stars. You'll get those 3 stars, right? But the word God's not in there. I checked. And so whoever made this software, it's open source software. So if it being open source, somebody could have got in there and hacked it and took out the word God and replaced it with 3 stars. So that we got to deal with in the new text chat. So there's nothing we can do about that, because I can't get in there and find out where he did it. And so, but that's, it's not a bad hack to work. Well, it is a bad hack. They shouldn't have done that. But maybe the guy's a Christian, and or maybe he's one of those folks that say, you know, God is a pagan word, and then you got to use Yeshua, HaMashiach, or something. Or it could just be the first part of a swear word, you know, the GD swear word. And so, but again, that's not in the bad word section. He may have put a bunch of swear words in already and then allows the people that install these servers to put in more. Because it shocked me when we saw that. Yeah, but a lot of people aren't going to figure out how to do that, Lewis. You know, because those are ANSI or ASCII graphics, and they're not going to be able to figure that out. But anyway, let me ask you this. How on earth can anyone have... Well, before I share all that, you know, how the Word of God, which, you know, because we are born again... Let me get back into this here. Many people believe that they can read the Bible. So many people believe they can read the Bible just one time in their lives and then expect to gain heaven after living another 40 or 50 years in life without ever reopening the book ever again. But that's not how Christianity works. We all need to study the Word of God daily, especially now, okay? To study it is to allow ourselves to have a conversation with the Lord that wrote it. You know, it's just like people that used to get, you know, like when I used to get into rock and roll before I was a Christian, or people that still get into it today. You could sit there and listen to the songs all day long, all these different rock songs from Satan. It's so much easier, especially like with Hollywood, with all the shoot 'em up and bang 'em up movies and the special effects. Satan makes reading or watching or listening a lot more quote-unquote fun, as the world would call it, for the flesh, so that when you go into the scriptures, it comes off as boring. And so, you know, to study it on a daily basis is literally... It will become, like if you shut off the TV, you stop listening to the rock and roll. When you listen to the rock and roll, or you watch the Hollywood movies, because they're all based on lies, every actor is a professional liar, you're letting Satan speak to you. And the flesh gets to like that. It's just the way it is. Everything from porn to just plain The Sound of Music kind of, you know, G-rated stuff. That's all based on lies. Okay? And so... studying, doing it that way is going to, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So if you study scriptures daily, truth in, truth out. You know, so like if you're studying the Word, you're having a conversation with the Lord. You're not having a conversation with Satan. So, I mean, seriously, if you lived with your father, let's say, your spouse, for your entire life, yet only one time for a few months, decades ago, you had a conversation with him. How would you ever be able to know your father or even remember what he said to you decades ago when you had that conversation with him? Seriously, are you superhuman or something to think that? Because there's people out there that actually believe you only have to read the Bible once. Satan's got them hooked. We are, like Paul just put it, born again by the Word, or no, Peter put it, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You don't put it on the back burner. It abideth forever. It's always there. This is also key to understanding the fact we will be studying the Word of God for eternity. I mean, if it's a chore down here, you're going to get so bored out of your gourd when you get home in heaven. But then again, you won't be there. Because if you don't study it down here and get to a point where it's... I can't wait sometimes in the morning to get into the Word and start chewing on that meat. Because every single day he gives me something new. That shocks me alone. I mean, I can read Shakespeare every day for 80 years. And, you know, I would think after the first couple of months, it's going to be mind-numbingly boring. Because I know what he's going to say, because I've been reading it. Scripture isn't like that, though. every time you read it, more information comes to you, even though you're reading the exact same words. It's uncanny how he does that. It really, and it always stays in tune with everything else that's in the scripture. You know, it's a light in the testimony, but they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. If you study the Bible for long enough, like a Berean, let's say, and you walk into a church that even the pastor doesn't study the Bible the way he should, he only uses the Bible to write sermons that are ear-tickling enough to get the money flowing. And so you go in there as a child of God that's been reading the Bible for decades or even months, let's say, you're a babe. See, that's what got me out of Catholicism. After a few months of study, because I opened up the Bible as a Catholic to shut the Baptists up, because every time I turned around, a Baptist was telling me I was going to hell because I was a Catholic. And they always had a Bible to prove their point. So I figured, hey, I can read a Bible. You know, I got something I can read. I can understand things, right? So I figured I'm going to read the Bible. Within a couple, 3 months, I realized, whoa, that guy with that robe on, that pagan robe, and the things he's saying, the way he's twisting the scripture, that's not Christian. That's not what this Bible says. That's why I approached my Monsignor in the Catholic Church, which in a regular church is called Pastor. And he literally told me, Nick, you need to stop reading the Bible. It's confusing you. Yeah. It didn't take long for him to see the dust cloud and the door swing closed as I bolted out of that office, because that was the last time I was ever in that church. I couldn't believe it. I loved that man. I still do. Well, he's dead and gone, obviously, but I looked up to that man. He married my wife and I. You know, I stood next to him on the pulpit, and I was a Eucharistic minister for the church for a few years. I was passing out the host and the wine just like he was, right next to him. So when he said that, I thought he'd be excited that I'm reading the Bible, because, you know, I wanted to be a deacon. That's as far as you can go as a married man in the Catholic Church, as a deacon. You'll get up there and you'll do the homilies and, you know, or sermons, as we call them. And so, again, studying the Bible, because it abideth forever in your heart, this is key to understanding the fact that we're going to be studying that same Bible for eternity. And so why is it some people will say that they read the Bible one time, which they believe is all they need to know the Lord, when an apostle of the Lord specifically declared, we are kept in the grace-filled state by studying the Word of God daily, which abides for eternity. And Peter raised people from the dead. Peter walked on water for a little bit, you know, before he looked around and got a little scared. His shadow falling on people healed them. And he would send prayer cloths to people, and they, because he couldn't make it to their area, boom, they touched the cloth, they're healed. And he's saying, read the Bible daily. He got to that point because of that. Hold on, the cat is digging her. There's a mouse trap in there, kitty. You know, I'm going to hear that trap go off, and a screaming cat after that. Can you get her? She's right there. She's chewing on wood or something. Come on, kitty. Come on, kitty. Good girl. Well, now she's complaining. Thanks, friend.
I heard her.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, she was trying to get out anyway. So, again, let me close with this. I ad-libbed a little bit too much because there's more I wanted to finish. Let's see. How can I put this? When an apostle, like Peter, says that you should read the Bible daily, because it abides onto eternity as well. If all you need to do, if all you like, or if you just need to read it once in a while or once in your lifetime, why would the Word be described as something that lives and abides within us for all eternity if we only allow it to be in us one time? Just like the Father and the Son are one in agreement, so is the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son in agreement. So when the Holy Spirit enters into the heart of the Christian, which causes us to keep God's law because now he writes his law on our hearts, he doesn't stop there by just writing Exodus chapter 20. He writes all 66 books, but we have to allow it to be brought in. We have to read it. He's not going to magically put it there. We have to show. I mean, let me ask you this. How on earth can anyone have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ unless they know him as Savior? I mean, you cannot know him if you read his word one time years ago or once in a while every month, or you read it once in a great while, like every 6 months or so. I mean, especially in his last days when Satan is chomping at the bit, just waiting for new born Christians to put that Bible down just for a day or two, or like a week or two. Once you put it down, or even just a day or two, he knows he can attack them in ways that they did not know were possible, because unless they stayed in the Bible daily, the promise of that hedge of angels is not a promise you can embrace anymore. They cannot learn what Jesus planned to teach them regarding the new sneaky little darts that Satan's throwing at them because they put the Bible down. Satan knows you put the Bible down, and so he knows exactly how to tempt you, because you never really studied a certain section of the Bible that outlines how Satan will attack you. And this is why you got so many wolves in the pulpit out there. There's actually websites. I couldn't believe this. One day I ran across this. There's a website, or there's quite a few of them, and they can sell. They sell sermons now. Years ago, they were just, you know, sermon.com or something. I don't know. Where it was some... I saw it some years ago. I laughed when I saw it. I says, how can you start using these pre-written sermons? Guess what? You're never going to have utterance. You're never going to have understanding. You're never going to be able to share your faith in a sermon or a study or properly on a phone call or on the street, because now you're relying on some other man to preach for you. I praise God that he gives me something every week. And I praise God that I can't memorize like I used to. That keeps me humble. I have to rely on the promise of John 14:26 to write these sermons or do these studies. I'm not going to spend $20 for a sermon. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm sure the donations would stop dead in their tracks then, because I don't ask people for donations, ever. I ask my Father. And if he sees me getting help from someone else other than him, well, then he's not going to be sending me the donations anymore. Oh, yeah, amen, good one. Luke 11, verse 3. How do you get around that one? Give us day by day. Well, give us this day our daily bread. You know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, that's part of that Lord's Prayer, the Catholic Church calls it. No, it's the outline for prayer. Literally saying in there, you need to, you know, bread. Is the Word of God not shown as bread? Is Jesus' flesh not the bread of life? And so... anyway, next week I'm going to pick it up at the fact that Christianity is not just a word. It's not even a religion. It's not a it's a lifestyle. It's, you can call it a religion, but it has to be perfect in your utterance when you declare it as Christianity, the perfect religion. I'm not talking about the Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 people that say they're Christians. Catholics say they're Christians, even though 86.2% of their doctrine is pagan, and they admit, their leaders admit that in writing. I got a page on the website all about that. And so, Christianity is not just a word that describes people. It's a lifestyle. It's a walk. It's an obedience. It's an eternal lifestyle, better yet. And I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a few minutes, and then we're going to have some amazing time, because it's Testimony Sabbath. Amen and amen. I got a few of them. And so I'll be back in a minute.